As I said, the sermon for this afternoon is entitled Dying to Sin. Now, thinking about death brings up all kinds of feelings. Sometimes we wonder when we're going to die. Perhaps how we're going to die. Is it going to be slow and painful? Or is it going to be quick and painless? At the end of the day, death is a reality none of us can escape. The question is, why must it be this way? I mean, if you think about it, death is an unnatural intrusion in this life. It's not the way God created it to be in the beginning. You see, God created humanity. He created Adam and Eve to be in an eternal relationship of worship-filled obedience with him forever. But as we know, all that changed at the fall. And so, making death a reality for everyone. And it's not only the curse of physical death, but also a spiritual death, leaving us spiritually dead in our sins. But for the Christian, there's hope. You see, Christ died the death that we deserve. The Apostle Paul explains that by saying that we're united in Christ's death, meaning our old self has been put to death. But what does he mean by that? And how does Lord's Day 16 help us understand all this talk about being united with Jesus in his death? Well, in understanding what it means to die to our old self, let's look at what Paul says about it by first seeing that we are united in him. United in him. Now, most of us here know the very important significance of Jesus' death on the cross. You see, in his death, he paid for our sins on our behalf as our substitute. He took the penalty that we deserve for our sins upon himself. He satisfied God's justice and wrath against our sins. Now, that's what Lord's Day 16 question and answer 40 first brings to our attention in answering why Jesus had to go all the way to death. So what does it mean for us in real terms? Well, Paul, in the text this afternoon in Romans chapter 6, he explains by saying that we've been baptized into Jesus' death. He talks about that in the verses 3 and 4. Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Now, the exact meaning of our baptism and burial into his death, as described here by Paul, it's variously understood in different ways. To be fair, it's a much debated text in Scripture, particularly to do with the sacrament of baptism. But that's not where I'm going today with this text. The best way to explain what Paul means here is that when he says that we are baptized into Christ's death, he means that you as a Christian, you as one who is in Christ, we partake in Jesus' death with him. You see, the Christian participates in Jesus' saving work in the sense that as Christians, we receive the saving benefits of his death from beginning to end. This is more than just a metaphorical turning over of the leaf for the Christian. More than just starting a new lease on life. This is a real transfer of the believer in Christ being delivered from the domain of darkness controlled by sin to the kingdom of light under the rule and reign of King Jesus. It's important that we remember this, that it's all of Jesus' work that we participate in, because it really affects our understanding of how we put sin to death, as we'll see later on. Now, looking closely at this Greek word that Paul uses for being united in verse 5, he says we have been united with him in a death like this, helps us further understand what it means to be baptized in Jesus' death. You see, the Greek word for this word united, it literally means that we've grown together. That's the literal translation. It actually has horticultural origins, which bring to mind images if you're a horticulturalist or you know a little bit about gardening, about grafting things together, grafting a branch, for example, onto a tree. It means to be knitted together, intertwined. And this is the kind of inescapable, intertwined union that Paul is talking about, that we have with Christ. You see, your very existence is intertwined with the reality of what Jesus accomplished for you in his death. The benefits of his death, which brings you the forgiveness of sins, of life eternal, are all yours because of your union with him in his death. And that's important because it helps us understand that there's nothing more that we can do, nothing more that we need to do or can do to make it any more real in terms of what Christ's death means for us. And we need to ask God to help us deeply appreciate this truth, because don't we all know how quickly we make our salvation a matter of what we do? Extreme examples. Think of those who you may have heard of who go on crusades and they bear a physical cross on their back. Maybe for them, they think this is some kind of way in which they're participating in Christ's death in a more meaningful way that brings them closer to him. Maybe in their personal experience, for them it does. But in the reality of the union that already exists between Jesus and the believer, it doesn't. Being united with Christ means just that. Through faith, we are in him. All that is his is ours. All the promises of God are yes in him to us. And we don't do anything that solidifies or confirms or makes that any more real. And we really need to know this, because that means that being united with Christ has nothing to do with the strength of your own experience. How often don't we think it's when we do more that we're kind of firming up our relationship with God? How quickly don't we think that it's us doing the saving work of God, along by our own actions? And we think our experiences and what we do will determine how well or otherwise God is pleased with us. But our union in Christ isn't dependent on what we do. It has everything to do with what God has already done for us in Christ. Through his death, he's done it all for us. And the benefits are yours. Now, Paul actually elaborates on those benefits in the letter to the Galatians. Now, Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 through to 4, verse 7. He says, many of you were baptized into Christ and have put on Christ. And this baptism into Christ brings us into union with Christ. This baptism into Jesus is the sure promise that we are Abraham's seed, heirs according to the promise. That's the gospel promise given to Abraham, that's ours as well. God forgives our sins. And that means baptized into Christ, through faith in Christ, you are redeemed. And you receive the full rights as God's children. Can you see what it means to be baptized into Christ, to be united with Christ? In him, look at what you and I have been given. But Lord's Day 16, question and answer 43, it poses this question that asks what that means and how that works itself out in our lives. The question is, what further advantage do we receive from Christ's sacrifice and death on the cross? Well, the answer, through Christ's death, our old selves are crucified, put to death, and buried with him. Or as the Apostle Paul says in verse 6, we know that our old self was crucified with him. Now, since we are united in Christ in his death, our old self, Paul says, is crucified. It's put to death. What's Paul saying here? Well, what he's saying is that we've been made new. We are new creations. Which means that something has happened with the old. You see, the old has gone and the new has come. Christ's death, through Christ's death, we receive the righteousness of Christ. Remember, he died on the cross for our sins. His righteousness has become our righteousness. He lived the perfect life we couldn't. He died the death that we deserve. And in him now we have a new life, transformed from the inside out. Remember, being a Christian is not just about turning over a new leaf in life. And the confidence that we have is that this isn't a partial work of salvation. You see, God doesn't deal with our once dead in sin nature by doing a bit of a patch-up job and hoping she'll be right. No, he replaced our old, dead in Adam selves with a new nature in Christ. The one in whom you now have the power to resist sin. Our old dead in sin nature has been replaced with a new born again nature in Christ. But if the old is gone and the new is come, how can Paul say that our old self has been crucified? We know because of what God did for us in Christ. It changes our relationship to him. You see, we're no longer sinners dead in sin. We're now saints made alive in him. In verse 10, he says, for the death he, that is Jesus, died to sin once for all. He died to sin once for all for us. Meaning that the old self, which belonged to Adam, which we inherited from Adam, was crucified in Christ. Our old nature inherited from Adam was nailed to the cross with Jesus and died with him under God's just condemnation. And this is the old self that Paul is talking about that was crucified. That's why elsewhere Paul could say in Galatians chapter 2 verse 20, for example, I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Okay, so you might be asking the question though, does that mean that we no longer battle with sin? Well, of course not. We still do, don't we? We know that's a reality in our lives. But what Paul's doing here, first and foremost, is that he's pointing us to the fact that the war against sin has already been won at the cross. Against the sin which was ours, which we deserve to die for. For the wages of sin is death, remember Paul says in Romans 6:23. Christ died for our sins to give us a new life in him. Being brought into a new spiritual reality with God in Christ. You see, the beautiful thing is that where there is death in God's economy of salvation, there is always life. And so again, that means when you believe in Jesus, and you repent of your sins, when you ask for forgiveness, your old self dies at the cross, and you've begun a new life in him. But what does it mean to have new life through the death of the old one? What does it mean to have new life through the death of the old one? What does that look like? Well, in the death of the old self, we live a new life of dying to sin in him. Dying to sin in him. Paul says in verse 11 of Romans 6, you must also consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Now, this is an imperative. It's a command. You must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God. You see, Christ died for you. And now in him, Paul says, you're committed to dying to sin. Remember, we have a new nature in Christ. The old nature has been put to death. As I said before, that doesn't mean we are perfectly sinless. Of course not. But what it does mean is that our old self, which was blinded in sin and unable to do anything good for God, has been replaced by that new nature in Christ that has been empowered to say no to sin and yes to him. Now, we all know that the reality is that putting sin to death in life isn't easy. It's a battle. And so dying to sin, it doesn't just come by sitting back and doing nothing about it, by saying, I have a new nature in Christ now. In Christ, we have been empowered by his Spirit to mortify the flesh. Now, that's a big word. It's a word used by the Westminster Confession, chapter 13, under the heading sanctification. And it says, by his word and Spirit, the dominion of the whole body of sin is destroyed, and the several lusts thereof are more and more weakened and mortified. Now, the confession here is telling us that by the word and Spirit, that sin, it still lingers in us, but we more and more are learning to put it to death. We're more and more desiring to fight against the temptations of Satan, against the temptations of the heart. And so more and more sin is dealt with and destroyed in our own lives. And there's a really important point I want you to see here. Notice how we are helped in doing this. It's not in our own steam. It's not through self-help books and how to live a better life. It's through God's word and by the Spirit of Christ who lives in us. And it doesn't just happen by doing nothing about it. You see, we need our minds shaped by God's word through the working of the Holy Spirit who helps us along the way. Our old natures, once dead in the sin of Adam, they've been put to death. And so this side of glory, we still do battle with sin until Christ returns. It's hard. It's hard to do battle with that sin. I mean, if you think about it, we're daily bombarded with worldly things around us, aren't we? I mean, for the young folk, constant feeds on Snapchat, TikTok, Facebook. Algorithms, did you know? There are algorithms that are designed to monitor our online activity. And they tailor the things and the ads that we like. I mean, we live in this self-absorbed world where it's so easy to lose sight of God and consume ourselves with ourselves rather than with God. The battle with sin is hard. Even though the old nature has been put to death, sin is still a reality that exists in us and in the world around us. And so that means this is a command from Paul. That's why he commands us. You must consider yourselves dead to sin. What he's saying here is that you need to be deliberate. You need to be deliberate in dying to the old ways of sin that still cling to us. You need to be intentional in your fight against sin and the bad things of this world that will pull you away from God. The sin of time wasting, of coveting, of gossiping, of sexual impurity. We need to do battle with these things. I mean, if you don't have the desire to put these and many other sinful things to death, maybe you need to question whether you're really saved. I mean that. It might sound harsh, but it's true. Because as a Christian, we have a new nature in Christ. The old nature has been put to death, which means that true saving faith will show itself in a desire to be intentional in dying to sin. We struggle with sin this side of glory. We need to get serious about how we do battle with it. Make a plan. Maybe think of specific verses you can memorize and recite them regularly. Find a system or tools that will help you commit scripture to memory. Make the goal of your memorization applicable. Make it applicable to help you grow in a conviction and putting death to sin in your life. And I guarantee that when you do, you'll see that God's word connects with the reality of your life. Because you'll begin to see that God's word does help you. It does guide you, and it shows you how to die to sin. And the conviction to put sin to death, it will only grow as you bring God's word to bear on those real life situations that you're struggling with. It'll show you how to live in accord with God's will. And believe that God's word comes to life by the power of his Holy Spirit and helps you believe and to trust and see that God's ways are better. We need to think of the words that Jesus said and thinking about how radical we need to get in fighting against sin. He said in Luke 14, verse 33, any of you who does not give up anything, everything he has, cannot be my disciple. Now these are radical words. We'd rather probably just read over them very quickly. But Jesus says we need to give up everything in being his disciples. You see, it not only takes commitment in dying to sin, it takes conviction. And the commitment and the conviction that Jesus showed when he was in the desert for 40 days being tempted by Satan. Think of what cost that came to him. To say no to Satan meant hunger. To say no to Satan, being committed and convicted and knowing that was the right thing to do, meant discomfort. Being committed and convicted and knowing that God's way is better, that meant humiliation. And to say no to Satan meant Jesus knew that obeying his Father who speaks truth rather than Satan who speaks lies. And each time Jesus was tempted by Satan, remember what he did? He quoted scripture. He quoted scripture against the attacks of Satan because he was convicted and he was committed to the truth of God's word. You see, Jesus, he gave up everything. He gave up his throne in heaven. He gave up his very life at the cross. In dying to sin, Jesus commands to give up everything. Give up the old sinful habits and ways of life. Commit to dying to them. Because Jesus gave up everything in dying for you. Yes, it's hard. Yes, it comes at a cost. And it doesn't mean literally giving away all we have. But it does mean to be willing to, if that's what's needed. We've got to be willing to count the cost. You see, being united in Christ, having crucified the old self in him, it's radical stuff. But we're changed from the inside out. It takes conviction, and it takes commitment, and it will come at a cost. But remember that it comes nowhere near the cost that Jesus paid in dying for your sins. Christian, brothers and sisters, boys and girls, we are united with Christ in his death. We're intertwined with him in his saving work on our behalf. In him, our old selves have been crucified. Your old self, once dead in sin, has been nailed to the cross in him. And so hopefully we see here that we are encouraged, we are exhorted by his word and by his spirit to commit each day to put sin to death in our lives, to say no to sin and yes to living for him. Amen.